Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
Welcome to episode 40. I just want to start by saying there's loads of tension in the room right now because James is in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood.
Gareth is calling out the bad mood and the stress.
I can literally tell you he's in an awful mood. He's in
there
a stinker.
Also,
absolute stinker.
I might just walk out.
Spoiler alert, I've just let everyone know that Gareth's back.
Yeah, look what the cat dragged in. Alicia, nice to have you.
He's not back for good, but he's back as a guest, one of the OG podcast peeps. How are you feeling to be back?
Gina, have you seen her? Yes, I have. She's got my old job.
I have.
I'm feeling very happy to be back and excited to be here. Invigorated. Invigorated is the word for it.
Invigorated?
Yeah, absolutely invigorated.
Big word for someone dyslexic.
Thank you.
Oh, my word. The thing is, he has no idea what it means.
No, I'm proud of you. And we've also got our resident American.
Yep.
Our token American. Our token Asian American.
Yep.
Alicia.
Whoa. Actually, so much more than a token. So,
I'm also a token Asian, just
Alicia,
not American.
There's many reasons why you're hired. Okay.
Yeah.
She loves it. She's not upset about that. It's fine. Welcome back. Thanks.
It's nice you to tell her.
She doesn't have a choice. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. It's chilly.
It is chilly.
Yeah.
I ran to get a hot drink.
I mean, what's happened since I've been gone? Like, Gina is just literally, she's just insulted me for being dyslexic, and she is literally just informed Alicia. Yeah. She's a token.
You know when people go mad with power, she's kind of become a dictator.
Oh my god, that's exactly what's happened. I'm just not short enough to be a dictator, though. James, you are.
Very good.
We have James.
Very good, Gina. Very good. I'm gonna not say anything back for the sake of my career.
apart from the moody mood. How are you?
Well, apart from how I am, how
apart
am I?
Apart from being moody, yeah, no, how
good.
Are you?
I'm great. I'm smashing.
Yeah, that's James, by the way, as everyone knows, the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit Podcast. Newsletter. What stories have you got? Let's just go straight in.
What stories have I got?
Give it to us.
I've got some stories. Right. Is everyone familiar with The Cube?
As in the TV show
presented by Philip Schofield, yeah. First story is kind of like that, but also in many ways not. So in Saudi Arabia, smack bang in the middle of Riyadh, there's plans to unveil or to build a fucking massive gold cube, which will house a load of offices, shops, and all that sort of thing. Which doesn't sound terribly interesting because I've basically just described a big Westfield, but you need to see it to believe it.
Mm-hmm. The fact it's gold, classic Arabs, really, isn't it?
I'm not sure I feel comfortable.
They like gold.
I feel like I couldn't get away with saying classic Arabs. But yeah. I was thinking it.
Classic Arabs. Yeah. So I used to live in Saudi Arabia.
Nice.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you see many gold cubes while you were there?
There is some truth into, like, it's got a lot of bling.
That's what I meant.
Have a bit of bling in Saudi Arabia.
Some people do, yeah.
but not
the slaves who would be used to build this.
Is it just me or does it look quite Mecca-like? Am I the only person that thought that?
I thought that.
I'd be calling it the new Mecca.
Yeah, Philip Schofield would not
now,
be
actually,
allowed
that,
him,
I want to point
he?
Out that was Gareth's line. I don't actually think it's very good. New Mecca Co. would make more sense.
The size of it's astounding, isn't it? It can fit, what was it?
It's 400 metres high, wide and long, obviously.
That is 20 Empire State Buildings that could fit in it.
The volume. Correct.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Alicia, you're American. You've seen how big the Empire State Building is.
That's
pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 20?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow. Crazy.
It's just a massive shopping centre, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a massive shopping centre. Yeah.
Tell us more, James.
What do you mean, tell me?
What's the point of it? Who's building it?
The point of it is, well, it's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has been on a bit of a shopping spree. Because this is, to add on to, we've looked at NEOM, which is it NEOM? That doesn't sound right when you say it out loud. Which is like the futuristic megacity, including the line, which is like...
Which was going to be in the desert, right?
In the desert. Yeah. So that was kind of thought to be... Well, not gimmicky, but like we never thought it would get out of the planning phase, but it is actually, I saw a video of the line and it is actually being built. So clearly they're trying to, Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia, are trying to create cities of the future that don't necessarily kind of correspond with the cities that we're used to, which does make sense, because if you were to build a city from scratch now, you wouldn't build London or Paris or New York. So this is potentially kind of the future of urban dwelling.
You can live in there, yeah.
Yeah, you can live in, you can live in a shopping centre. I mean, wow.
there's 104,000 residential units and 9,000 hotel rooms, so you can live in it.
Who wants to live in there?
Yeah, but you're going to be stuck like bang in the middle of it, so you're not going to have any windows, anything like that.
How do you know you're gonna, it might be on the outside?
Does it have windows? It doesn't, like so the structure. To describe it to the viewer, it feels like the it looks similar to the stadium, the Chinese bird's nest. Mm-hmm. Like there's a similarity in that, but it just does look like a big block with like embossed metal pattern on it. But I can't see any windows. I'm sure it must do, right? Well,
apparently, it's a gateway into another world. So if they want you to be in another world, there's not going to have windows.
That just sounds like another slogan for Westfield, doesn't it?
I mean, what I find funny about it is, and you mentioned the prince there, is it seems to be a push by the current, I'm going to say it, regime, to modernize Saudi Arabia, right? So it's the modernization of things in Saudi Arabia to sort of bring it into line as sort of like one of the most futuristic countries
more than,
and forward thinking in the world,
which is
hiding a lot of secrets, I think, mm-hmm. because as we know, some of the politics there and some of the human rights is, you know, it's backwards as fuck.
Yeah, some of the human rights is very bad there. But that's because it's not just modernising. It's kind of modern. It's not just catching up. It's catching up than shooting
exactly.
miles.
It's going further. It's going further than anyone has before.
Exactly.
Right?
Alicia, what do you think of this big gold box?
I mean, yeah, sure. Why not? It's like one of those things where you just have lots of money and it's just like, I don't know, I'm going to build a fucking cube. Like, why not?
I think you should be in there with the regime. Just like, Alicia, what should we do? Fuck it. Why not? Just build a spaceship that blows up the earth. I mean, you got the money.
It's like you just build the tallest thing or the longest thing or, you know,
the
they've
goldest
already got
thing.
Pyramids and stuff. So like, try another shape.
Are you going to go live in a pyramid?
No, I mean, like, you know, like they wouldn't do a pyramid because it already exists.
But, you're a little bit bling, though, aren't you? You are a little bit bling. You've got, like, the best nails in the agency.
Yeah, you
Let's
do.
Not lie.
Just got a touch of the Arabs about her, yeah.
I feel like you'd like to go shopping in that big square golden thing, right?
I mean, it kind of gives me vibes, like, no, like, I feel like it kind of, I don't know, like, it just seems a bit dull once you...
I do actually agree with you. Like, no, I agree.
I mean, I feel like it's like you, oh, it's exciting. It's a big fucking cube. But then you go inside and it's the same
what's
store
as
you see.
About
like,
it?
Yeah,
it's very true, yeah.
What is futuristic about it?
Apart
from
look
that
at
it's
it.
Big and gold.
Look, there you go.
What makes that futuristic, though?
I mean, like, you know, to like stick up in terms of the way it looks, I think that you would, you know, if you saw something like that as it's being proposed, you'd be like, oh my god, look at that. It would stick out.
It looks
you,
like
right?
it's on Wakanda.
Hard thing to build. It's a
oh you build it.
Oh wow.
No, but like, you know, you look
come
at like,
on, guys.
These big, like,
I just can't predict what's
going to
happen on this podcast next this week
and stuff like that, where like it's just more a bit more dynamic and like the actual shape of it, but it's a cute, like, I mean, obviously it looks nice and like they're going to put nice things on the outside of it, but like, you know,
I do really agree with your point. And you're going to go in there and there's going to be a Calvin Klein and there's going to be like, you know, just a row of shops that you've seen in every single country in the world, right?
But isn't that the point? That kind of, it's the same stuff that we, because it's not meant to be crazy. It's meant to be setting like the new norm, I suppose. So architecturally, it's futuristic, but it's still going to comprise all the things that we want. And I'd say the reason that it is futuristic is because nothing like it has previously existed.
We're also missing some things, guys. In the article, it mentions that it's going to be powered by the latest digital, virtual and holographic technology. But we've been there, done that. Even in Culture Club, we go to these exhibitions which have that. Maybe we can go here next for Culture Club.
Perfect.
Are we all familiar with one Mr. Joseph Rogan?
Biggest podcaster in the world, I believe.
Actually, quite little, though, as it turns out, so that's kind of ironic.
He's like you!
He is like me. Very muscular as well, also like me.
slightly more broad than James.
Okay, so this week, there's a video that's been floating around of him and his podcast promoting something called Alpha Grind, which I believe is meant to enhance a gentleman's nether regions.
Oh, you were definitely getting on board with that.
And he was talking to this bloke, Andrew Huberman, who is a kind of crackpot neuroscientist. specialist, an ophthalmologist who I follow quite closely, and they're
of course you do.
Tell me how to get a boner.
No.
I want to get bricked
that's
up.
That's got nothing to do with ophthalmology. But per Huberman's advice, I have been staring into the sun every morning for the last like year and a half. But this video, out, is completely fake, which doesn't now make me think what else is fake. So should I explain what it is a bit better?
Yeah,
because you both started talking about erections.
We can't help it. Look at you.
Right, so yeah, fake video. Joe Rogan, Andrew Huberman promoting a product called Alpha Grind, except it's not actually them. It's a deep fakes and AI-generated voice version that is driving people to the shop on Amazon to buy this thing, Alpha Grind.
It looks like, as deep fakes go, it does look pretty impressive.
But I feel they were quite cute with it, because they kind of only showed their faces for us. It wasn't them talking the whole time. They sort of introduce it, and then it goes into like the kind of Amazon page and stuff.
Yeah, one of the motifs that I thought was quite interesting in it is they jump cut. So it's very popular to jump cut in sort of like YouTube videos and such. And that just gave it another layer of reality that I was like, oh, that's clever. They did a little jump cut there, which just confuses the viewer to make you feel like this is real.
I think it's quite smart, because normally when you think and talk about deepfake stuff, which we have in the past, it's always been quite like negative stuff. Like using like porn and stuff, whereas with the porn and stuff, you know.
So and you think fraud is a positive?
No, I think it's kind of smart. It's smart that it's Alpha Grind brand have decided to do this, and like people have probably gone and bought it now because they're tuning into someone really popular.
It's smart in the way that stealing a load of money is smart, yeah, though. Like,
I mean, I'm not saying it's okay,
it's completely
an
utterly
interesting point.
No, absolutely not. Because if you saw this without the context, because it's the type of thing that Joe Rogan would promote.
Kind of say, like,
because,
yeah,
well, yeah, no, because
like
he promotes another product called like Alpha Brain, which is a nootropic, so it's not a million miles off. So if you saw this without any context, I could, and you were some young man who thought, oh, libido booster, that sounds great.
Again,
get me
James
some.
Describing himself.
Yeah, exactly. then I could see how you might just go straight to Amazon and get it. So it's slightly kind of, well, compared to, there was something in the Cool Shit last week that had like a David Guetta deepfake of Eminem, which is fairly harmless, whereas this feels slightly more nefarious to me.
Well, the account that posted it, they can't find it now, can they? So the account's deleted.
Is it?
It was on like shared on TikTok originally, and then the person that shared it on TikTok or posted it, they can't find that person's account.
But the name is out there now, Alpha Grind.
The followers that he has, Joe Rogan, they will really buy into that. There's a certain amount of sort of like incel types.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, whoa, Joe's bought that. I better get that quick. They would have got a spike in sales quite quickly.
That's a sweeping generalization. And also coming from a man who I know listens to the Joe Rogan podcast.
What do you think? Do you think like brands are going to start, maybe not legally,
absolutely not.
Doing this type of stuff.
It was smart because, like, I think if you actually watch the video, like, it doesn't, you can tell that he's not saying any of it. Like, they've not, like, put in that much of an effort. So, like, it seems less of a deep fake. I mean, it just sounds like someone's voice doing a Joe Rogan impersonation. But, like, obviously, he's, like, pissed off because, well, it's just using his likeness to sell something else.
To be sales, yeah.
I don't think it's going to catch on. Like, I don't think you could.
You could, like, tell that it was deep fake, but I think if you were just watching it very quickly,
you can tell
the confirmation bias.
You see a clip of him.
I think it could catch on for, like, a kind of one-time cash grab. It's not exactly a long-term business model to kind of keep conning people, but I think it's the first example that I've seen of, like, AI and deep fakes, even if Alicia wasn't particularly impressed with them, being used for, I guess, marketing purposes.
Yeah. That's what I thought was quite smart. I'm not saying that
it is smart, but it's also evil.
Of all the things we talk about, this is what you find evil.
Yeah, how dare they disrespect my overlord Joe Rogan like this?
Every story I've had so far has not gotten into the newsletter.
Let's keep the streak going.
Come on,
yeah. Keep it average
this
as
is
you
your
can.
Week. This
so
is your
if
week.
You hate me, if all I am to you is just a rogue Asian person, then...
We said token.
sorry, token. This one actually isn't Asian related,
like,
though. I'm kind of disappointed.
A rogue Asian. isn't that a Bruce Lee film, Rogue Asian?
Fucking hell. All right, well, my story, super exciting, guys. Prepare yourselves. No, it's just about Shake Shack.
James literally clung onto the arms of his seat out of
excitement.
I know,
I'm sorry. Okay.
He's been having some alpha grind. Yeah.
That's all the pent-up aggression today.
Well, right, with that pent-up aggression, you can go and have a meal at the white truffle menu meal at Shake Shack. So basically, Shake Shack announced... like a new menu where they have some like white truffle, like burgers and stuff like that. So I think February 27th to the 2nd of March, they are transforming a couple of their restaurants, I think in the States, and creating sort of like a VIP experience where you can enjoy the fancy burgers and have unlimited wine and get nice desserts. At their restaurants.
This is smart of them because they always do limited edition menus. It's like one of their things. But this is cool because it's like an expensive item that or product people wouldn't normally have, and they're selling it to the masses. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Alicia, can I go? I just want to congratulate you for bringing what I think is the worst story that anyone has ever brought to the Cool Shit Podcast. There's some truffle burgers.
No, it's talking
it's
about
creating
like a
curated experience in there. Yeah, so it's like it's limited edition. It's you want to be one of the only people.
It's better than a cat being lost in an airport.
Yeah,
which
fair enough. I wasn't there.
Yeah,
week.
And I'm dragging it. You're dragging that out. Self-aware. Gareth, what do you think about this? What, maybe not so much. The fact that they're selling truffle burgers and truffle products, but the fact that Shake Shack are doing something like this.
Do you know what? So, like, in terms of the let's sort of like bring it back. Who are the Shake Shack consumers, and who are they trying to? Who are they trying to lure in with this one?
Like, Alicia.
That's what I'm trying to think. So,
I think
Shake Shack I think they're sort of like an elevated fast food burger place, I think is how they market themselves.
Right, okay. And who do you think that they're trying to bring in with this? Do you think they're trying to get repeat business off like their fans that are all like, you know, I just love Shake Shack. They're always doing crazy stuff that just keeps them on my toes. Or do you think they're trying to reach out to like a new consumer?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I think you're going to have the Shake Shack completionists who are like, I need to have every single thing and like enjoy every experience. But then also it's like, oh, if you're in the area, it's a bit of fun for, I think it's like $20. It's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah, $20? White truffle.
Yeah.
Where are you getting that?
Is this like truffle oil though, where it's got like 0.01% truffle in it?
James, why do you think it's the worst story ever bought to Cool Shit? Or were you exaggerating?
Exaggerating more?
There's been some clangers here.
There's been worse.
Yeah, okay. But it's not as interesting to say one of the worst stories I've ever heard. I don't know, it just feels I say like Honest Burgers, for example. Like I swear, like at all of their restaurants, they've got like a sort of like special menu item. I don't know, the idea of like a special menu doesn't feel incredibly innovative to me. And I get kind of pissed off with truffle as well, because I feel like that's just a kind of, I don't know, get the magpies who think, oh, this makes us fancy.
But it's white truffle. It's more exclusive than normal truffles, and it's like talking about bringing fine dining.
But then you say it's only 20 quid.
Yeah, they're making it accessible.
Do you know what I think? I think fuck truffles. It's a burger place. Stay true to being a burger place.
This is the other thing. Like more toppings don't make a burger better necessarily. Yeah. You want the kind of the basics. I'd even say bacon doesn't necessarily make a cheeseburger better.
I don't like bacon on a burger.
No, neither.
It gets in the way. It's
so like, you definitely wouldn't like truffle,
it's
would you?
Set. Like,
and
like,
if you and if you dare put an egg on my burger.
Well. Alicia, any you gonna argue back why you think this is cool, or did you come in knowing that it wasn't
like,
cool?
Nah, just build a big gold box in the middle of it. What do I care?
And just woman of luxury, so
it's all right. It's all right. I'm not. I'm okay with it, but it's not going in.
Well, we know what's not making it into the Cool Shit newsletter this week. 3 for 3.
So listen, I don't have a story that I think will be making it in. It's more of a discussion point, but you know, it's interesting nonetheless.
What? Sorry, who said you could break the rules?
Yeah, thanks for understanding the brief, Gareth, of your own fucking podcast that you started and abandoned. Judas.
But listen, right, I think everyone would have probably seen that Puffin Books are looking to rewrite certain words in Roald Dahl books.
I didn't see that, but explain.
Okay, so Roald Dahl, who is like, you know, one of the most, or probably the, I think, probably, you know, in a tie with J.K. Rowling, I should imagine, popular children's authors of all time. His books are having a you know, a minor rewrite by Puffin Books. So he died sometime, I guess, in the 90s. His books are still wildly popular.
Yeah, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Twits. The Twits, George's Marvelous Medicine, The Witches, the kind of the list goes on. And interestingly, those are licenses which you can buy. So I'm sure that, you know, there'll be more films. There was a film by Tim Burton not so long ago of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But certain words are being changed to be brought into line with modern expectations of parents. So words like fat have been removed from the book.
Fuck off.
Right, yeah, words like fat. Mrs. Twit and the Twits were once described as ugly and beastly, and now they're just beastly. The Twits has removed the word weird from the sentence, a weird African language, so it's now just...
That I kind of get.
So now no, I don't.
So it's why is it weird?
Paul, I didn't say it's weird. I just don't think you should remove any of it. This kind of desperate attempt to whitewash history is kind of pathetic. And if you can only keep the stuff that's acceptable by modern standards, you won't be left with very much history.
What do you mean whitewash it?
So these changes are, they're being made. So I thought it's interesting enough because this is just going to feed into the culture wars of, you know, like, is woke gone mad? And it's been, you know, it's been in the Telegraph. It's been in all the usual suspects that you've seen reported in the Times. And if you do go online, you will find reams and reams of Jameses getting very angry.
Gammons.
the Gammon crew. But more interesting than that. Mm-hmm. So the reason that I have brought it is, yeah, it's a discussion point, and it highlights the sort of like the binariness of the culture wars. Are they actually real? I don't know. Is it something that the media is fueling? However, this is the interesting part of it. Roald Dahl books, and now at the moment, I was this is anecdotal, but they are now driving flip culture. So we do a lot of work with young people that, you know, buy a pair of sneakers and they flip them for a certain price later on, or watches like G-Shock, etc. So secondhand bookshops have had an influx of people going in and buying up all the old Roald Dahl books that they've got. And they are now sort of like buying them up. And younger people, so I'm talking about sort of like, you know, kids in their 20s, are wise to this, and they're buying all of the Roald Dahl books up really, really quickly, and they're starting to go out on eBay as part of a realization about how things work these days.
So are those the old ones with all the, exactly, the really offensive
with the perhaps not that offensive words in it? Yeah. Yes, they are being bought up currently in massive amounts. Like people are going to charity shops, they're trying to find these books.
I've got loads. So,
exactly, there you go, because they are perceived to be something that might sell. Well, they've become, environment.
Yeah, I suppose it's a kind of time capsule now, because I imagine Roald Dahl books are still manufactured. So now, if they're being manufactured with the tweet versions, then there's only a finite amount of the old ones. So they've become, I guess, collectible in a sense.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't think that's the motivation for doing it. I think that's just been a byproduct.
No, it's not the motivation at all. The motivation is to carry on selling books, right? So the publishers has thought, right, we think that in a modern marketplace, if we change these words, these books won't go out of circulation. And what they have actually created now is a new lease of life somehow for the older books, which are, you know, actual paperbacks are going to come sort of like items that are, you know, like limited editions. I find that quite interesting.
I think it's there's so many other books that have way worse in them.
Yeah, I thought you were going to start dropping some crazy
really
shit.
Really rude words, but that's really surprising.
Do you know that the Oompa Loompas originally, so then interestingly
oh
enough.
Oh, God.
No. Another publisher came out and said, we already changed him. When he wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, they were Africans, the Oompa Loompas. So he's already got previous with the way that he's
Do you know if there's
views.
Still any of those ones knocking about?
Mega flip. Anyway.
James is going for
flip. Just out of curiosity.
Well, you have kids, so yeah. Would you buy the revised version thinking, okay, I'm not going to use the word ugly and things like that?
My eldest daughter is a massive fan of Matilda, and funnily enough, it just so happened, probably about half a year ago, we were in a bookstore, a secondhand bookstore, and I saw Matilda, and I was like, oh, let me get that for you, yeah? Because she's seen the films, but she hasn't read the book. So I'm now sitting on a potential goldmine.
That's the only thing you're thinking of right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that kind of one of the nice things about these children, because they're not very offensive words, and when there's kind of like a a semi-naughty word in there. It kind of adds to the fun of it.
That was always the interesting thing about Roald Dahl, and that's why, or any kids, but you're
right. Exactly. You're like, oh, that's a bit naughty. Because even the title, the twits, it's like, oh, twits, like that's funny. It's kind of, I don't know, I think if you give such, I don't think there's any need to give such power to these words and have to censor them.
So there's a certain amount of authors that have come out. Salman Rushdie, who's obviously, he's tried to
this
be...
This feels like a safer argument than his previous one.
He's come out and said that it's censorship. And Philip Pullman, who wrote his Dark Materials, which is some very good kids' books, actually, he's come out and said, do you know what, I think it's wrong because you should just let the essentially what he's saying is let the dice roll, let him go out of print if that is the case, or let him stay.
Let culture actually decide rather than dictating it,
because I hate when this type of stuff happens, because then it fuels up the gammon community to be like, oh my god, well, these snowflakes, exactly. I feel like this was inserted by
a Russian troll farm or something just to divide the West.
Yeah, it could be all an elaborate plan.
Yeah, I feel like both sides, like assuming there are two sides, I think both sides, like at least in the States, right, you have the really conservative people, you have the really liberal people. I feel like both sides have kind of united over saying this is a dumb fucking idea.
It's like the M&M's thing, wasn't it? Oh, don't worry, you can cut that out.
No, it's actually a good point, because there were people on the left who were upset that the green M&M had been de-yarsified, yeah. I believe.
Sorry,
the green M&M was
the fit M&M.
James really fancied her. James didn't need alpha grinding.
And they took away her heels and they made her less sexy.
Basically, they made
her outrageous.
Yeah, it just reminds me of that.
Oh, I do like this podcast because you just have gammon act. In action.
Yeah. I know, just it's I'm like, what's
can
the point?
Can everyone stop calling me gammon, actually, please?
Sorry, James.
Yeah. No, I just think it's silly. It's unnecessary. Like, if you're just like Gareth, if you're reading your kid the book and like something sort of bad or maybe a little bit less PC sort of comes up, I feel like you can just have a conversation. Like, these kids aren't stupid.
Also, I don't think the words that they're censoring, they're not rude.
The point is that Roald Dahl doesn't use fat in a positive way. But interestingly, your point that you just made is like that. I think they've shot themselves in the foot, because the publisher has done it because they think they're going to sell more books if they do it.
But
like
if anything,
this, right?
It's just.
And I think that's the reason. It's a cynical reason.
Yeah.
And masquerading perhaps as like, you know, like we really care. We don't want kids to use the word fat. We want to be like body positive, which I think all of those things are great. Don't get me wrong. So I kind of feel like there is, I feel cynical about it, because I'm like, you just want to carry on selling these books. There's plenty of brilliant kids authors out there that are writing today and have written in the past. And I think, you know, to Philip Pullman's point is like, let the dice roll, see what happens, see if it becomes less popular. That, let the people talk.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing with like all of the Disney movies when they've sort of re-released them. So what they did for a lot of the movies that have some sort of things that are not considered PC nowadays and are quite bad, they just put like a disclaimer and just say, by the way, this was made in a different time, that sort of thing. Like, you could, if you really needed to do something, you could do something similar to,
but even
like
even
that.
That is like, what, surely people are intelligent enough to work that out for themselves.
Well, I think the latest Matilda is a really good example. So there's a film out at the moment, so it's kind of like reimagined like Matilda, and I think that's a good thing. That's what should happen with stories. If the story is good enough, it can survive in today we diversify storytelling. There's so many different ways. We want a movie, we want a video game of it, etc., right? So in the same way that, you know, people got an uproar about the latest remake of Lord of Rings, where you have a black actor playing
and,
an orc.
And Little Mermaid
as
well.
Yeah, exactly.
Black,
I'm just like, well, you know, like modern times dictate different things. Mm. Let that happen. And I think if these books are loved, there's loads of reincarnations you can go to without changing the words in the source material.
It's also bang out of order to Roald Dahl, who probably chose his words fairly intentionally, and now you're literally rewriting his work after he's dead. Like, that's kind of outrageous. If someone did that to me with Cool Shit, for example,
oh my god,
which is the same thing, I'd be outraged.
I wonder what his family think, because obviously
I think they'd probably agree to it because they're like, cha-ching, yeah,
just
right,
go with it,
exactly.
Cool. Well, thanks for that, Gareth.
That's all right.
That was very interesting. I'm glad you broke the rules and did more of a kind of open discussion type of thing, as opposed to saying this cool story's cool. Okay, well, James, once you've decided what's going to make it into the newsletter, where are we finding it?
zacagency.com/cool-sht, which we still need to change.
Is that just going to be a regular thing that you say that every single week? We're never going to change it. Otherwise, he won't be able to say that. Thanks, Alicia.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Always a pleasure. And thanks, Gareth. I'm sure you'll be back.
Yeah, good to be here. Thank you.
And thanks, James.
You're very welcome.
Positive sunshine boy.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate
it. Great to be here.